Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre callings on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text the brother 045-714-0550 and our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. We're going across the nation thanks to NERS, you mob. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the deadly country. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong. Voice for our people, you mob, so do utilise it. All right, then we're going to catch up a yarn there with Cecilia Alfonso, manager at the Wagalugalungo Artists Aboriginal Corporation. It's Indigenous Art Market and NAIDOC Week celebrations. Their conversation on the line. Cecilia, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Welcome to the program.
I'm very well, thank you.
Good, my sister.
Nice to be on it.
Yeah, thank you for coming to the program. First of all, let the mob know who you're mob, where you're from.
Okay, so my name is Cecilia and I'm the manager of an art centre, an Aboriginal-owned art centre in Yuendamur in the Northern Territory. We're on the Tanami, 300 kilometres northwest of Alice Springs.
Fantastic. And we'll talk about your beautiful art store there and in Central Australia and how long has it been operating for, please?
Okay, well, the art centre is called Wailukulangu Artists and it is named after a fire dreaming site west of Yuendamur. It was established in 1985, so that makes us one of the oldest continuously operating art centres in the Central Desert. We have over 800 active artists. So
yes.
I just got my audited financials for last year. We paid over 800 people, so we operate out of two communities. We also run a satellite program 160 kilometres further west in the community of Mirapu.
Yes.
And Yuendamur is one of the biggest Indigenous communities in the Central Desert.
Yes.
So it has a population of 800 people, and then Nairobi has a population of about 300. So most people pay for us.
Fantastic, beautiful. Now, Wailukulungu Art Centre, it's a beautiful platform for employment and it also becomes a powerful vehicle to educate people of the world. Can you hear me there? Cecilia?
Hello?
No, Cecilia. We'll try and get Cecilia back. Cecilia Alfonso, she's a manager at the Wailukulungu Artists Aboriginal Corporation. I've just lost her there. We'll try and get her back online and talk about that fantastic operation out there. It's the longest serving art operation in this country. And look, they're world renowned. They travelled, their work has travelled nationally as well as international. And a profile of its art has been featured in hundreds of exhibitions and publications around Australia and around the world. So a very important conversation and look, fantastic, the work that they're doing there. We'll try and get Cecilia back online and continue that conversation. I think I got her back there. Cecilia, you there, sister?
Hello. Yeah, I am. Thank you.
No, thank you. All good. So I'm just saying it's, a longer-serving art centre and you've worked that's travelled national and international. The profile is second to hundreds of exhibitions, publications around Australia and the world. So you've got to be very proud with the art centre.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're really proud of the work that we do. I think the Art Centre, I mean, I am not Indigenous, but, you know, I think we have, you know, we're the biggest employer in the community.
Yes.
And so I think that Aboriginal art centres are a good example of, you know, collaboration between two worlds and, you know, everybody brings their skills to the table and the people paint, you know, beautiful, you know, ethically sourced, like it's authentic Aboriginal art, and they tell the stories of their country, and, you know, that have been passed down, as everybody knows, for millennia.
Exactly. And look, it's fitting that we're having this conversation now. It is NAIDOC Week, and always was and always will be is the theme for this year. And so there must be a buzz in the air out there at the Arts Centre, yes?
Yeah, there is. I think, you know, the people are excited to be celebrating NAIDOC Week, and especially, like, we're, you know, one of the things that we wanted to promote is our website and an online sale that we're having to
yes.
celebrate NAIDOC Week in collaboration with IATSIS. So in a normal year, you know, which there's like a circuit of markets, Indigenous markets that we do. We travel to Darwin, mm-hmm. Alice Springs, Adelaide to celebrate Tanumpi, and we have markets where we're able to sell the work directly to the public. And then we always end the year with an IATSIS market. And so we haven't been able to do any of those markets this year.
COVID-19.
We were very concerned about that it would really affect our ability to give people more canvas and to sell their work. But all of these events have gone online.
Yes.
And, you know, they've done really well already. Sold a lot of work in the last couple of days. Assistance of IATSIS, you know, directing, you know, helping to market our website. And, you know,
you there, Cecilia? Cecilia? I'm losing you. Out in the sticks. Cecilia, can you hear me?
Yes, so I can hear you perfectly.
Oh, good, okay. There's yeah. noise in the background. Look, it's, like I said, a fantastic tool in regarding educating people of the world about our culture, but also employment for our people, for our mob at that way. You're there, Cecilia. Oh, I lost her. So there it is, Cecilia Alfonso, her name is, manager at Wagalugulango Artists Aboriginal Corporation and the Arts Centre out there at Yumindu. And in Northern Territory. And it's sad we got cut off there, but look, they're doing fantastic work and recognising their work. IATSIS, big shout out to IATSIS, in connecting with our mob, especially out in communities. And IATSIS do a fantastic job in regarding educating people all of Australia, non-Indigenous brothers and sisters, as well as the world, about our culture, 60,000 years. That in itself is a deadly product, you could say, a deadly tool in promoting who we are as the longest living culture on planet Earth. I'll try again with Cecilia. You there, sister?
I am. You're being very patient.
It's all good. It's all good, you know. It looks, it's, I think ancestor spirits are tickling us. It's all good. You mentioned that you're not Indigenous. Cecilia, who are you, mob? Where are you from?
I'm originally from South America.
From South America?
Yeah, but I've been in this role, I've been working at UNDMO for almost 20 years. I'm about to go into my 20th year.
Ah, you're local. We've claimed you.
And I have an assistant manager that I've been working with for 18 years.
Yes.
She's also Chilean, so it's a South American royalty-run art centre.
Good. So you're First Nation from South America?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me? Nah, not going good, Cecilia. Thank you very much. We'll talk soon, my sister. Yeah, can you hear me? No, not good. That's Cecilia Alfonso, and South American sister. She's a manager at the Wailugulango Artists Aboriginal Art Centre at Yumindu. And look, yeah, sad I didn't get. We lost her a couple of times there, but big shout out, fantastic work, and she's been out there for 20 years, she reckons. So yeah, you could say local, claiming her too deadly. Have you say Yarn Armstrong here on National Talk Black 1-800-422-416.
Manjima, here I go, Kanjima, can you run, and I'm a ring, here I go. to share a mother, hey sister, hey brother. Once we lose our vision of the land.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
My people, Aboriginal. My people,
joining you, Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns as BBM Bumbleberry Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Give us a call and have you say 1-800-422-416. Now, Mysterious Jacket has emerged from the depths of Canberra archive and with an enigmatic story about one of the nation's most unusual award ceremonies. With that story, I'm going to catch up over here now with Leonard Hill, Executive Director of Collection Services at IATSIS. On the line, Leonard, very good morning. How are you?
I am very well, and a good morning to you too.
Thank you very much for coming to the program, my friend. First of all, let the mob know who you mob, where you from.
Thanks for that. I'm a descendant of the Namba and Murawari people through my mother from northwest New South Wales. She was born and raised on the Aboriginal Mission out in Brewarrina, and that's where I draw my cultural connections.
Beautiful. Deadly footprint there, my brother. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So we're talking about this mysterious jacket which has emerged from the depths of Canberra archive. Tell us about the most unusual award ceremony that this jacket holds.
Yeah, look, thanks for that, and it is, it's really unique. So in January of 1978, Yolngu leader Mr. David Burumari was appointed a member of the Most Excellent Order of the British Empire, an MBE.
Mm.
And as a part of that appointment and that award, Mr. Burumari invited the then Governor-General of Australia, Sir Zelman Cowan, and his wife Anna up to Elko Island to invest him with that award.
On his country.
So yes. That in itself was a bit unique and, you know, very bold of him to say, thank you very much for that award, but how about you come up my way?
If you're going to give me the award, come to my country and give me the award.
That's it. So as a part of the Governor-General's visit in April of 1978, Mr. Burumari insisted that all of the visiting dignitaries dress in jackets that were designed by him especially for the event. And the patterns on the jackets that were designed by Mr. Burumari were based on sacred designs of his clan, the Wurundjeri people from up that way. And fortunately for us and the country, the jacket was donated to IATSIS, to our collection, by the Governor-General and his wife not long after that ceremony, 1978.
And so you've been holding it in your archives, but what didn't know it, found it while doing a spring clean? Tell us about that.
It's not uncommon for collecting institutions here in Australia and everywhere across the world to have collection material and sometimes not to have a lot of detail around the material.
Yes.
So a part of the work that we do when we accession our material, when we bring it into our collection, we do provenance work. We do the research around getting to understand and know a little bit more about the history. So in recent months, our staff, our curatorial staff and our collection management staff have been doing that work, trying to uncover a bit more of the history of the jacket. And, you know, as I said, we've learned a little bit more and more and more as we do more research. It's been fascinating exercise to do that work.
Is there records that the Governor-General at the time, Sir Zelman, back in 1978, did do that journey with his wife to meet our brother there?
Yes, they made the visit up to Elko Island. As I said, we don't have a lot of records and we're still searching more and more records through our archive and through other archives in terms of trying to get a bit more of a clearer picture. But yes, the Governor-General certainly and his wife certainly did make that visit all that way up to the territory.
And look, there wouldn't be a big great list of First Nation people receiving an MBE on the records in this country, would there not?
Of that I'm not absolutely sure, but I'd suffice to say that I don't think there would be many.
Yeah.
Not many people get invested with these sorts of awards in any circumstance, and for a First Nations person to be invested with an award like that is a truly remarkable achievement. I mean, he was a unique individual. He was born in 1917. He was a Yolngu philosopher, a diplomat, a leader, and he was chosen by his family to learn about non-Aboriginal ways And Mr. Boromara made an effort since his youth to really increase his knowledge of the outside world. And his diplomacy was kind of founded, what we know, his diplomacy was founded around four aspirations, and that was that Aboriginal people would control their own affairs, that Yolngu and Christian beliefs would be reconciled, that Australia would recognise Yolngu land and sea rights, and that the Yolngu people would be as wealthy as any other Australian. So, you know, he was a remarkable individual.
Yes. And his family is still with us? Know the story?
I understand. Yes, they are. Absolutely. And a part of the work that we do in terms of doing that research to know a little bit more about the collection material is to reach out to family members where they're still around. So I understand that's been a part of the work that we have done in terms of understanding the provenance details of the jacket.
Yeah, and as I said, that's there's probably a list, and as you pointed out, you don't know that list of First Nation people receiving the MBE, but also the story behind it, unusual award ceremony, and asking the Governor-General to come to my country and give me the award. I mean, Brother David Boromara, fantastic and strong in his statue, so to speak, yeah?
Yes, absolutely. Like I said, it was... very unusual that an award would be presented in that particular manner. And, you know, as we know, many times when awards like these are presented, they're generally done from, you know, from Canberra, for instance.
Exactly.
At the time, getting the Governor-General to come up, which I believe was one of the first instances, if not the first instance, that the Governor-General had made a visit to the Northern Territory.
Yeah, fantastic. Look, a beautiful story. And thank you very much for sharing, Leonard. Keep digging in the archives. Hey, say, oil always rises to the top, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks very much for the opportunity to be able to tell that story.
All the best, my brother. You take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Thank you.
Adela Young there with Leonard Hill, Executive Director, Collection Services at IATSIS. And dig in, you will find, so to speak. And the story there about the mysterious jacket, which has just emerged from the depths of the Canberra archive, and with this enigmatic story about one of the nation's most unusual award ceremony, when Yolngu leader David Boromara was told he was to receive an MBE from the Governor-General back in 1978, Sir Zelman. He made his demands clear. If you want to give me this award, MBE, you come to my country, which is Echo Island there. So fantastic. And there's the story. And it's good to have that recognition, acknowledgement, but also that power on country, of course. First Nation people, strong and well, living deadly here in the 21st century. Have your say. Yarn up, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. And live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM, Bumbabrip Media, 90.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Yarn with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for National Talk Black and ready to have a yarn with you, mob. Give me a call, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Drive, don't let it ride.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. All right, now, ancient stargazing meets modern astronomy to share Aboriginal stories of night sky. We're going to catch up a yarn there with Sister Madeline Anderson. She's the chairwoman of the Bimara Aboriginal Corporation over in WA there. And we've got her on the line. Madeline, good morning, my sister. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, sister. Thank you very much for coming to the program. First of all, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yeah, so Madeline, from Ewood Country in Dandaragon, over in, WA.
Fantastic, my sister. Now, ancient stargazing meets modern astronomy to share Aboriginal stories of night sky. So tell us about your property and what you guys are doing there, and just adding, how you say, more string to the bow, expanding into astronomy for another venture for tourism. So paint the picture there for us, sister.
Yeah, no worries. So we are just 2 hours north of Perth. We've got about 1,240 hectares. We currently operate a small backgrounding cattle business, and we've been doing that now for the past 5 years successfully. And
good.
We've been, you know, exploring other ways of diversifying what we do, and you know, linking in with the community and. Yeah, the astro-tourism is, it's a conversation we've always had, but didn't know how to, you know, take the next step and how to go about it.
And how did you take the next step? Was there someone that came to the table to have a yarn with you?
Oh, yes, yes, there were lots of good, good yarns. We had Carol Redford from Astro-Tourism WA.
All right, big shout out, Carol, yep.
Yes, yes, hi, Carol. She was working with the Aboriginal community and had a particular focus on the Ewart community, and you know, was just wanting to support any Aboriginal groups or enterprises, and to see if they would consider Aboriginal astronomy storytelling.
And so you've got the right property, and I believe your property is sitting on a quota, is that right?
Yes, we are. So the, up at the cattle yards is the highest, second highest point, which is where we hosted one of the stargazing nights for Carol as part of her project. And we have a really spectacular view of the crater, which is about 12 kilometres in diameter. And, yeah, and so Yulali Downs is situated on the southern part, so we're up on the first ridge, if you like, and the rest of it goes down into the flats, which is the bowl of the crater.
Yeah, look, so, I'm getting goosebumps here, my sister, because when you're talking about a crater, Mother Earth, and then you're talking about our ancestors and the skies and the stars, there's a spiritual connection there, I'm feeling, yes?
Absolutely. You know, we've got, where the place, where we're situated, we've got the water that runs through, and you know, there are sightings on the land,
yes.
And you know, we want to protect that and you know, and support the young people from in town to come out and to share that, you know, to feel that connection.
Fantastic,
with the,
my sister.
With the land.
Yeah, with the land there. You also have cattle on the property, is that right?
We do. They're a small operation. We could have a capacity of up to 1,000. So slowly increasing, and in the next few years we could go up to 3,000 to 4,000 per head.
So who's a part of your team there? How many run the show there, sister?
Oh yes. So we've got 10 members on the board, and there's three of us that live and work on the property. Shout out to Pop Kevin Van. He's the longest one there, and we're well respected elder in our community, and still our teacher, you know.
Of course.
And Lexi, who's our cattle manager, and myself, the chair, and help out wherever Lex and Pop Kevin tell me to go. You know.
Look, too dead. Look, I see expansion. It also creates employment or. Studies, you know, school education environment for schools to visit and all the above. So you can do so much more on the property, yes?
Oh, yes. The opportunities are endless, and we are, you know, currently planning to set up a youth camp and, you know, the skills around just even working with cattle and land care management and the wildlife in the area and protecting our waterways as well. So, as you can imagine, there's so many opportunities. And whilst we got the support and, you know, a lot of strong relationships with our neighbouring farmers, now's the time, you know, and
we're ready. And they always say, prepare yourself for the opportunity and the opportunity will present itself. So, my sister, you are kicking goals and you're doing a fantastic job. Look, thank you for sharing, my sister. All the best to your Dedly committee members, board members there, and the work that you're doing. And ancient stargazing, that's just too deadly, my sister.
No worries. Thank you very much.
You take care, Madeline. All the best, sis.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
A deadly yarn there. Madeline Anderson, her name is. She's the chairwoman of Beemurra Aboriginal Corporation over there in WA, and ancient stargazing meets modern astronomy to share Aboriginal stories of night sky. So, look, fantastic. They've got a cattle business, a small cattle business on their property, and it's on a crater, and fantastic opportunity for stargazing and the Aboriginal astro-tourism stargazing event happened there at Yalala Dance. Yalali Dance. That sounds very good, too deadly. And a big shout out to CEO there, founder Carol Redfern, who's recruiting Aboriginal people to help create Aboriginal astronomy tourism trail to meet to help people learn about the magic of night skies from Aboriginal elders and guides. And isn't it fantastic? And just I've always said that we, as First Nation people, being black, we are very rich in more ways than one regarding our culture and our land. We just got to get our skin in the game and get proactive. And there's another opportunity, another successful story in regard to that process. So have your say. Yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Yarn with the ball. You're on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to News, National News Radio Service. Give the Murray a call. Let's have a yarn. 1-800-422-416.
Here today, to give love to those good ones that helped us on our way. Cause oftentimes we're tough, but you didn't budge, stood beside me all the way.
Yeah, too deadly. JW, Justin Wellington, much love. PNG brother, big shout out, brother. Hope you're well. Been a while. Drop and have a cuppa. Too deadly. Have you say Yanup Strong here on National Talk Black. Yanup with the ball around Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from Nicurry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. And a big shout out to the First Nation Radio Station across this country, a deadly black network. And happy NAIDOC week, you mob. Too deadly. And the theme always was, always will be, that's the theme, but always was and always will be, recognises the First Nations people have occupied and cared for this continent for over 65,000 years. And here we are in the 21st century, ain't going nowhere, so we are strong, you mob, and you can have your say, Yanup Strong, here on National Talk Black. Tell us what you're doing for NAIDOC, tell us how you're celebrating it. A lot of people go on Zoom, thanks to the internet and what have you, because COVID-19, but some people are celebrating, how you say, mildly, but strong, very, very strong we are in our celebration. A powerful tool to educate the people of the world about our beautiful culture. And we are alive, like I said, and well in the 21st century. And for our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters, come and join our celebration. That's what it's all about, togetherness. And we need to get it together, togetherness, big island, Australia. Let's go to Sweet Yuri with Black Caribbeans. And big shout out there, you mob in Yoruba. Hope you're well. And have your say in Yanup Strong here, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, beautiful track there, Sweet Yuri. Good morning, Yoruba. Hope you're well there. Black Caribbeans here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yanup Strong, 1-800-422-416. Yanup with the ball you run, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Nicurry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station in Cairns, BBM, Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. A deadly black network of Murray Radio Stations, First Nation Radio Stations, a tool for our mob, deadly voice. Now, speaking of voices, deadly voice, we're going to catch up a yarn there with Linda Burney, MP, and Shadow Minister for Indigenous Australia, member for Barton, New South Wales, Australian Labor Party, and talk about NAIDOC celebration and also Labor's commitment to Uluru Statement. On the line, my sister Linda, good morning, how are you?
I'm very well, Trev, how are you?
I'm good, sis, I'm good. Let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
I am Linda Burney. I'm from Wiradjuri Territory in southwest New South Wales. Southwest New South Wales, down on. It's a really big nation, yes. Trev, the Wiradjuri, and I'm from the southern end, the Murrumbidgee Wiradjuri, or the Murrumbidgee Wiradjuri.
Beautiful. Look, here we are celebrating NAIDOC, and always was, always will be. Tell us meaning for you, my sister.
Well, when we finished that always was, always will be, during the land rights marches during the 70s, 80s and 90s, of course, it was, always will be Aboriginal land. Mm. And NAIDOC Week for me is, I've watched it change over the years, is something that's just grown and grown and grown, where most schools celebrate it now. Many local councils, many parliaments. In fact, we had a beautiful ceremony in Parliament in the Labor caucus this morning. We had Paula House and some others, local Ngunnawal people, come in and do a smoking and a traditional welcome to the Labor caucus. It was extremely special.
Yes, and that it is. And look, it's a powerful tool to educate the people of the world of our existence, 65,000 years, and we aren't going anywhere. But it's also arms opened and to welcome people for the education and the celebration, isn't it?
Oh, it's all of those things. It's particularly gratifying for me as a member of the Labor Party, as a Labor front bencher, to see the support and the way in which the whole caucus participated this morning, and really appreciated what was happening.
Mm. Now, regarding Labor's commitment to Uluru Statement, where were we at with the commitment there from the Labor Party?
Anthony Albanese, our leader, reinforced it in caucus again this morning that we are fully committed to the Uluru Statement. That is a constitutionally enshrined voice to the Parliament. The establishment of a Makarrata Commission to oversee agreement and treaty making, and also a national process of truth-telling. We are rock-solid committed to that.
And it has to be. When we get together for a very important progression for the future moving forward, and we came from all over the country, you can't just put that on the bench or put it in the in tray, so to speak. The government's got to act on our voice, so to speak, yes?
Well, it'll be interesting to watch what the government does over the next 6 to 10 months, Trev, because the minister has now received a report which he is going to take to his cabinet from his three working groups on what some possible models might be for a voice. But I know the government is not supportive of a constitutionally enshrined voice. They would rather see a legislated voice. So the next few months will tell about what their commitment will be. But all I can say from my party...
Yes.
From my perspective, we are committed to the Uluru Statement.
Fantastic. And what do you do for celebration of NAIDOC, Linda?
Well, Malindu McCarthy, the senator from the Northern Territory, she's from a little place called Boorloola. We attended the opening of NAIDOC on Sunday night here in Canberra, and it was a beautiful light show on the Carillion in the middle of Lake Burley Griffin. We have had the ceremony this morning within the Parliament and participated as much as you can in what is a very different week. But those two events are really special.
Beautiful. Well, thank you very much for sharing, Linda. Good to catch up with you, as always, my sister. You take care, stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Okay, thanks, Trev. Bye.
Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn there. Linda Burney, MP, Member of Parliament, Shadow Minister for Indigenous Australians, and also Member for Bart and New South Wales, and with the Australian Labor Party. Their commitment to Uluru Statement is very strong, Labor Party, and waiting on what the government's decision in regard to the Uluru Statement. So watch this space. And also talked about the celebration of NAIDOC 2020, and always was, always will be, is the theme, and very strong, powerful theme it is. Have your say, yarn up strong. We've got about 7 minutes yarn on the program here, National Talk Black, and coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbo Brit Media, 98.7 FM, 1-800-422-416.
Tonight. Don't blame it on the Koreans. Don't blame it on the Noongars. Don't blame it on the Islanders. Don't blame it on the Murrays. Don't blame it on the Noongars. Don't blame it on the Yolngu. Don't blame it on the Anangu. Don't blame it on the Murrays.
Woo! If that nasty Ganji barks me, I'll bust him with my Tai Chi. He's never gonna catch me, cause I got fast feet. I've changed my
control my fate. I just can't get locked up again. Now I can't control my fate. I just can't get locked up again.
Don't blame it on the Koris. Don't blame it on the Noongas. Don't blame it on the Islanders.
Yeah, too dearly, Shawnee Chulbra and Yarn Up Strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say and Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. We are going across the nation. You mob, too deadly, add to the conversation. We're going to catch up now with Tony Gibbs along. Tony, good morning.
Good morning, Trevor. Good morning, everybody. It's in your country here. Thanks, NERS, and the whole organisation that makes this.
Thanks, my brother. How are you travelling? What's happening, brother?
Well, we had our meeting at the Green Patch on Saturday.
Yes, how'd you go?
Oh, good. I had family there. One grandson stood up and become a man like I'd never seen. Cool. And we had Murray's even far afield as South Australia, local Australians, concerned residents. Not a big crowd, but that was good. And local business people came too.
Oh, and a row of people.
A lot of people. The main thing, the Murrays come up from the river, the ones that file down there and can walk about, and it's really overgrown because the council haven't mowed it. There's a little bit to go through, and I want to read out something about it. It always was. And yeah, they come up and they told me all about I hadn't mentioned the four-wheel drive damage down there. There's really a lot of four-wheel drive. It's just a recreational vehicle, not for people anymore. But And so we had a good meeting, and there's a lot of things I can't cover today, and I've got to start writing again. And there's a sign at the front of the Green Patch, and I filmed it all, and then it was really hard to read this sign when I got home and looked at the film, and I sit there because it's dark, tealy blue, and the writing black. Welcome to the Green Patch Campground. You there, okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, mate, I was just trying to get it out, but we've only got a few minutes.
Yep.
It's welcome to the Green Patch Campground. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land and pay our respects to the elders. It doesn't mention his injuries, both past, present and future, for they hold the memories, the traditions, the culture and hope of Aboriginal Australia. And then it says, we must always remember that under the concrete and asphalt, this land was and always will be traditional Aboriginal land. Yeah, under the concrete, I've never... How the white council have twisted and used the words, and I just heard the lady from... You know, they got a ceremony down in Canberra there and all that, and we're here on the land, and this is... What an insult. Mm. You know, it says there, and the sign is at the front, concrete and asphalt. Now, I've been onto the television station this morning, how they put me onto the commercial wagon. A character assassinated me.
But you're fighting a good fight there, Tony. I've got to go to the news, my brother. Thank you, Tony. Yes, and call us back and find out. I want to find out exactly where that sign came from or where is it posted, but it's a very important conversation. You mob, going to sign off here. Thank you very much for your company. Got the news coming up here very soon. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in the pandemic. Do not be lackadaisy, you mob.